Good evening. Hope everyone had a nice holiday, vacation for some, family for others. I had a very, very quiet Thanksgiving. I made a little tiny meal for myself in my little house and enjoyed every bite in complete quiet, which is the first quiet I'd had in a long, long time. So it was a treat. We have a new face tonight. Welcome.
Thank you.
How did you hear about us?
Actually, it was on the internet. I saw you.
Ah, yes. Do you live in San Jose?
In Morgan Hill.
Uh-huh. Close enough. Yeah. Let's do introductions around.
I'm Dan.
Wendy.
Russ.
Donald.
Angel.
Samuel.
Britt.
Ken.
Jane.
Lauren.
Angie. Have you sat Zen before?
Yes.
Where?
Sherry Huber.
Oh. Where is she now?
Right this minute?
I don't know. She's not still in Mountain View is what I mean, is she?
They have a group in Palo Alto. She still has a monastery in Murphy's.
In Murphy's.
But she travels quite extensively.
Last I heard she was in Italy, but that was a while ago.
Yeah, she's back.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, she's going to be having a, I don't know what you call it, a talk at the Center for Spiritual Enlightenment.
Oh, just across the way.
12.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember the time.
Uh-huh. Nice. Well, you're certainly welcome. I'm glad you came. We're just beginning a study of Suzuki Roshi's Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. This is the first night, actually. We decided last week that we would start in the middle, or at least start in on the second section. But what I'd like to do is actually start with a prologue before we go to that second section, because it's introducing beginner's mind. And I think it's important to let him launch his work here. And in the course of various things that I've been reading, I found a translation of one of Dogen's talks on Zazen, which goes into beginner's mind at the end of it. So I thought I would read that to you as well. That's very interesting. It's where Roshi must have picked it up, because it says more or less the same thing, only much more fiercely, because Dogen is so ferocious sometimes. So let's read that prologue. What we do is go around and read a paragraph at a time, taking turns around a circle.
Prologue, page 21. Prologue, beginner's mind. In the beginner's mind, there are many possibilities, but in the expert's, there are few. People say that practicing Zen is difficult, but there is a misunderstanding as to why. It's not difficult because it's hard to sit in a cross-legged position or to obtain enlightenment. Difficult because it's hard to keep our mind pure and our practice pure in its fundamental sense. The Zen school developed in many ways after it was established in China. But at the same time, it became more and more impure. But I do not want to talk about Chinese Zen or the history of Zen. I'm interested in helping you keep your practice from being impure.
In Japan, we have the phrase Shoshin, which means beginner's mind. The goal of practice is always to keep our beginner's mind. Suppose you recite the Prajnaparamita Sutra only once. It might be a very good recitation, but what would happen to you if you recited it twice three times, four times, or more, you might easily lose your original attitude towards it. The same thing will happen in your other Zen practices. For a while, you will keep your beginner's mind. But if you continue to practice 1, 2, 3 years or more, although you may improve some, you are liable to lose the limitless meaning of original mind.
For Zen students, the most important thing is not to be dualistic. Our original mind includes everything within itself. It is always rich and sufficient within itself. You should not lose your self-sufficient state of mind. This does not mean a closed mind, but actually an empty mind and a ready mind. If your mind is empty, it is always ready for anything. If it is open to everything, in the beginner's mind, there are many possibilities. In the expert's mind, there are a few.
If you discriminate too much, you limit yourself. If you are too demanding or too greedy, your mind is not rich and self-sufficient. If we lose our original self-sufficient mind, we will lose all precepts. When your mind becomes demanding, when you long for something, you will end up violating your own precepts. Not to tell lies, not to steal, not to kill, not to be immoral, and so forth. If you keep your original mind, the precepts will keep themselves.
In the beginner's mind, there is no thought, I have attained something. All self-centered thoughts limit our vast mind. When we have no thought of achievement, no thought of self, we are true beginners. Then we can really learn something. The beginner's mind is the mind of compassion. When our mind is compassionate, it is boundless. Dogen Zenji, the founder of our school, always emphasized how important it is to resume our boundless original mind. Then we are always true to ourselves, in sympathy with all beings, and can actually practice.
I can't see.
So the most difficult thing is always to keep your beginner's mind. There is no need to have a deep understanding of Zen. Even though you read much Zen literature, you must read each sentence with a fresh mind. You should not say, I know what Zen is, or I have attained enlightenment. This is also the real secret of the arts. Always be a beginner. Be very, very careful about this point. If you start to practice Zazen, you will begin to appreciate your beginner's mind. It is the secret of Zen practice.
So Dogen says about the same thing. He says, fools say the aim of Zazen practice is to attain a peaceful state of mind that is clear and in which there are no random delusive thoughts. Someone who sets the final goal of Zazen practice at attainment of some personal skills or some temporary special mental state has a crooked, half-baked way of thinking. It is a shallow understanding that doesn't even teach the standpoint of someone who is practicing Hinayana Buddhism. What is more, it is far inferior to the two lowest ranks of the five vehicles. That crowd can definitely not be called people who study the Buddha Dharma. There are people who tell everyone, as a way of studying Buddhism, Zazen practice is an important tool only for beginners and older people. It isn't something necessarily practiced by the Buddhas and ancestors. Once a person has had Satori, then it isn't necessary to practice Zazen. For those people on such a high level, walking is Zen, and sitting is also Zen. For such people, the body and mind is peaceful, regardless of whether they are speaking or silent, moving or sitting quietly. So there is no need to be concerned only about the practice of Zazen. Many people who proclaim themselves to be affiliated, Dogen says, with Rinzai Zen think like this. The true teaching of Buddha has not been transmitted to them, so they are stuck in a truly poor understanding of the Buddha Dharma. And so they spew out these kinds of astonishing remarks that are flagrantly mistaken. A beginner? They talk as if they understand what a beginner is. But what really do they think it is? Do they mean someone who has just learned something? If we say a beginner, isn't that everyone a beginner? These people don't understand the true meaning of being a beginner. Where does being a beginner begin and end? They say such things because they don't know the most fundamental point of Buddhism, which is practicing the way as a beginner is already the whole of original realization. Those 2 weeks that I spent in Arcata and Willits, I took another piece from Dogen as my subject, as I told you all a few weeks ago, the one called Not to Do Wrong, which is a very curious and interesting disquisition on morality. And the very first statement that he makes is a little poem or a little gatha that says, not to commit wrongs, to practice the many kinds of right, naturally purifies the mind. This is the teaching of the Buddhas. Now the original one says not to do evil, to practice good, you should not do evil, you should practice good, you should purify your mind. This is the teaching of Buddha. It's the second noble truth cast in different words. But Dogen takes it to a whole nother place when he says, not to commit wrongs, to practice the many kinds of good, naturally, just naturally does purify the mind. There's always the question when we talk about morality, how shall we do? You know, everybody says, you know, to children, be good. And then the child tries to figure out what that means. Obeying grown-ups. It's a long, rocky road just finding out what the grown-ups mean by being good. But Dogen's point is that right is the natural state of mind. That rightness is what we are and what we want to be. It's where the precepts come from our natural inclination. And that we have to make an effort in order to do wrong and act wrong. We make mistakes all the time, endless, endless mistakes. But a mistake isn't wrong. It's just a mistaking of a situation. But wrong is going out and actually doing it. And wrong is caused by many conditions that come together to create a state of mind. There's a story I often tell of the Los Angeles poet, whose name I've forgotten at the moment, who as a little boy was chewed out by the teacher at school, was beat up by some kids on the way home, came into his parents fighting, and went into his room, closed the door, stood by the window, and saw a big spider coming down the window. And he just took his slipper and smashed it. and finally felt a little bit better. He wrote a short story about it because it's haunted him. When things come together, the determination to do something unpurifies the mind, you could say, or the mind has become, lost its natural purity. So this beginner's mind is how we bring ourselves back again and again to where we are, so that we're not driven by the things that happen to us. If we begin again, we take our seat and are the ones who make the move rather than being moved by the causes and conditions that drive life. So, as Suzuki Roshi says, we don't attain anything, we don't get anywhere. And though that seems disappointing in a way, it's extremely refreshing. It means there are many possibilities in every moment, and that every moment is free. I was very happy to find this. This is a new translation in a Soto Zen magazine called Dharma Eye, the Soto Zen Journal, and it's put out by Japanese Soto people, and it's very different and very interesting. So we've got time to read the next one. Shall we do that? The first of the page 53. Oh, yeah. So Ken is next.
I can see it and I'll read it. Where are we? Right at the beginning?
At the beginning.
I didn't bring my glasses. I can't see that well enough.
Make it up.
Make it up. Single-minded way, I can read that. Even if the sun were to rise from the west, the I'm not even sure how you pronounce that.
Bodhisattva.
Bodhisattva has only one way. I'm having trouble struggling with this. The purpose of my talk is not to give you some intellectual understanding, but just to express my appreciation of our Zen practice, to be able to sit with you. In Zazen is very, very unusual. I get the older I get, the smaller these letters get. Of course, whatever we do is unusual because our life itself is so unusual. Buddha said, to appreciate your human life is as rare as soil in your fingernail. You know directly every...
That's dirt.
Huh?
Dirt, hardly.
Dirt, hardly. sticks in your nail? Our human life is rare and wonderful. When I sit, I want to remain sitting forever. But I encourage myself to have another practice. For instance, to recite the sutra or to bow. And when I bow, I think, this is wonderful. But I have to change my practice again to reflect.
Recite
the sutra. So the purpose of my talk is to express my appreciation. That is all. One way is not to sit to acquire something. It is to express our true nature. This is our practice.
Hey, thank you.
If you want to express yourself, your true nature, there should be some natural and appropriate way of expression. Even swaying right and left as you sit down or get up from zazen is an expression of yourself. It is not preparation for practice or relaxation after practice. It is part of the practice. So we should not do it as if we were preparing for something else. This should be true in everything, in your everyday life. To cook or to fix some food is not preparation according to Dogen. It is practice. To cook is not just to prepare food for someone or for yourself. It is to express your sincerity. So when you cook, you should express yourself and your activity in the kitchen. You should allow yourself plenty of time. You should work on it with nothing in your mind and without expecting anything. You should just cook. That is also an expression of our sincerity, a part of our practice. It is necessary to sit in zazen in this way, but sitting is not our only way. Whatever you do, it should be an expression of the same deep activity. We should appreciate what we are doing. There is no preparation for something else.
The Bodhisattva's way is called the single-minded way, or one railway track thousands of miles long. The railway track is always the same. If it were to become wider or narrower, it would be disastrous. Wherever you go, the railway track is always the same. That is the Bodhisattva's way. So even if the sun were to rise from the west, the Bodhisattva has only one way. His way is in each moment to express his nature and his sincerity.
We say a railway track, but actually there is no such thing. Sincerity itself is the railway track. The sights we see from the train will change, but we are always running on the same track. And there is no beginning or end to the track, beginningless and endless track. There is no starting point, no goal, nothing to attain. Just to run on the track is our way. This is the nature of our Zen practice.
But when you become curious about the railway track, danger is there. You should not see the railway track. If you look at the track, you will become dizzy. Just appreciate the sights you see from the train. That is our way. There is no need for the passengers to be curious about the track. Someone will take care of it. Buddha will take care of it. But sometimes we try to explain the railway track because we become curious if something is always the same. We wonder, how is it possible for the Bodhisattva always to be the same? What is his secret? But there is no secret. Everyone has the same nature as the railway track.
There were two good friends, Chokei and Hofuku. They were talking about the Bodhisattva's way, and Chokei said, even if the Arhat, an enlightened one, were to have evil desires, still the Tathagata Buddha does not have two kinds of words. I say that the Tathagata has words, but no dualistic words. Well, Fuku said, even though you say so, your comment is not perfect. Chokhei asked, what is your understanding of the Tathagata's words? Fuku said, I hope this has got a good punchline. We have had enough discussion, and let's have a cup of tea. Fuku did not give his friends an answer because it's impossible to give a verbal interpretation of our way. Nevertheless, as a part of their practice, these two good friends discussed the Bodhisattva's way, even though they did not expect to find a new interpretation. So the Fuku answered, our discussion is over. Let's have a cup of tea.
That's a pretty good punchline, isn't it?
We won't try for that. I respect
it. It is the same for my talk. When my talk is over, you're listening to it. There is no need to remember what I said. There is no need to understand what I said. You understand. You have full understanding of being yourself. There is no problem.
Some years ago, I went through this book and marked it with just the things that jumped at me and that I thought had special meaning. And the one in here is the Bodhisattva has only one way. His way is in each moment to express his nature and his sincerity. That's why it's no problem. In the big picture, if we try to imagine a big picture, then it becomes very problematic. How can we possibly? But in each moment, we can manage. Anybody can manage. And who knows where each moment leads? If we don't know, it's much more interesting. So are there questions? There's time for a little discussion.
Noticed that the notion of cause and effect seems to be almost either irrelevant or reversed. In the prologue, he says, if you start to practice Zazen, you'll begin to appreciate your beginner's mind. To me, when I read this, this is not a cause and effect. He's not saying, when you practice Zazen, you will have beginner's mind.
Mm-hmm.
He says, the way I interpret it, I would rewrite it as, when you open yourself and take away the fakeness that is your invention, you will see and appreciate what was always there, which is you and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And it is repeatedly fascinating to me how, you know, your talks and other things, you always see that. You don't do it to get that. Because if you try to and you don't get that, you think the system has failed you, but it hasn't.
Exactly. You can't do it to get that. It doesn't work that way. What does Uchiyama Roshi say? Unfolding the hand of thought. It's opening up the hand. You can't hold on to it. Yeah. Hard to believe from one point of view. Very hard to believe. I always say it's like skiing. You have to put your weight on the downhill ski in order not to fall down the mountain. I never could believe it. I always wanted to hold on to the mountain. You have to fling yourself off. Well, it's 8 o'clock. Yes, please.
One other quick announcement. A study group will be this Saturday at 9:30 at Katie's home. As usual, we will start with a half hour zazen and then start at 10 with discussion. And we do have a dial-in number, the same number we've always had, if someone would like to join us from a bar. And you can ask me for directions, because Kitty is very busy with schoolwork. And then one other quick announcement: on December 11th will be our business meeting. So if you have anything you would like to discuss, you can let me know and I'll put it on the agenda. And everyone is welcome to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Samia. Beautiful fruit.
They're huge persimmons.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are. Gorgeous. We have a Rohatsu Sesshin on the 8th of December. Buddha's Enlightenment Day is the 8th, and that's the end of our practice period, and we're going to have a one-day sit from 9 to 5 as usual. There'll be a talk at 1 and some kind of little closing circle with the end of practice period, just so we can say we did it. And the subject for the study group is Pema Chodron's book about Shantideva, the name of which I can't quite remember at the moment. What is?
No Time to Lose,
yes. So we'll be reading the second and third chapters, is that right? I think that's right.